Pat Bostigan with us for another hour, brought to you by Gatorade, available at Giant Eagle stores. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. A couple of big games on Saturday. Only two matchups between ranked teams this week. At noon, it's Penn State, Ohio State. And then at 8 p.m., it is the Pitt Panthers at SMU. We've spent a lot of time on Pitt. We're going to continue to do that. But I got a take on this Ohio State-Penn State game, guys. First of all, I don't know if Drew Aller is going to play, though he practiced yesterday, and there were 15 minutes of practice available to the media. He looked fine. So he might play, he might not play. Looks like he's going to play. If not, it's Bo Prabula, who can run the ball very well, a highly recruited guy. And I know there's a lot of pressure on James Franklin, right? You got to win these games. And I know that there is a lot of pressure on Ryan Day. Now, he's won this game, but he's lost some of the other big games, Michigan, playoff games, lost to Oregon this year. This is a big game. I'm not going to pretend like it's not. But if Penn State loses to Ohio State and then runs the table against Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland, guess what? They're going to be a playoff team. If Ohio State loses to Penn State and beats Indiana in their penultimate game of the season at home at the Horseshoe, they're going to be a playoff team with two losses. I think the loser of this game winds up probably getting in anyway. And it's the only thing, as I sit here right now, that I don't like about the college football playoff. Like, this was such a pressure-packed game for both coaches before the season, and to an extent it is now. But if you lose, so what? Like, kind of. You're still going to get in. Now, Penn State wouldn't be able to win the Big Ten, and that would stink for them. But you lose to Ohio State, you're a one-loss team, you're going to make the playoff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think for Penn State, that is true. I think if Ohio State would get beat by, like, 35.
Sure.
I think the eye test would be a problem, you know, given the loss to Oregon and so forth. But, listen, I think these are two coaches, particularly for Franklin, that he just hasn't won the big one. Uh-huh. And I think for that reason, this is a really big game for Penn State. I also happen to think that Prabula might be as good or better than Aller.
Yep.
I'm not an Aller believer. I think he's good. I don't think he's great. And I think Prabula gave him a lot in that Wisconsin game. It gave them a lot of confidence. So it'll be interesting. And I think they have another dimension with him, obviously the running game.
Yep.
But this is a huge game for Penn State. For Ohio State, yeah, it's big. It's not Michigan, though. When you walk around and say you're unrivaled, guess who your rivals become? Top five teams. And they haven't beaten them. So here's their chance. At home.
At home.
I mean, this is a line in the sand type game for Penn State. And honestly, I think they're the better team.
Penn State?
Yeah.
I'm not sold on either team. I'm just like, not. I mean, like, they neither of them are juggernauts, in my opinion, right now, this year at least. But I know that Day and Franklin, like, they are desperate for this game. Like, they're desperate, like, especially Franklin, as Pat just said, is desperate. And then Day, I mean, you know, their standards are different than everybody else, right?
Yes.
Their standards are way different. And winning this game for Ohio State, it's a big game, and you always, you know, there's always questions around Day for some reason. And with all the money that they have and they spend on players, I mean, they let a guy like Cal McCord walk because they felt like that there was a better option. Like, that's where they're at. They're in a different realm, a different sphere of college football. For Franklin, like, you have to win this game, in my opinion, because if you don't, you really can't afford to stub your toe. Not that they would, but, like, there has been close games for Penn State this year.
Sure.
Like, that's why I haven't been sold.
They really struggled with Ball State.
Yes.
They were down double digits against
Bowling
USC.
Yeah.
Bowling Green. One of those schools. Either way, unacceptable. Still won the game. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I think the same thing with Ohio State. Ohio State had a tough time against Nebraska last week. I mean, that was tight.
Right.
They lose against the best team they've played in Oregon. Again, tight, but they lost. Yeah, I thought Ohio State would kind of drub everyone on their schedule this year.
So did I.
Including Oregon. Like, I thought they were by far the best team in college football, and they have not performed to that level. Your point about the expectations there is right. Why is Ryan Day sometimes questioned? Maybe by a minority of the fan base, but by enough. Well, it's because they're expected to go 10, 11, 12 wins every year.
And beat Michigan.
And beat Michigan.
Which they should this year.
And the last two they haven't, and yes, they should. And then Oregon comes in and you lose to them, like the new team in the conference that you're supposed to own. So they haven't lived up to their expectation. I still think seven teams got to make it, apart from the five teams that are guaranteed a spot for being conference champions. Seven teams got to make it. Ohio State at two losses, I still think is going to make it. And I think Penn State with one loss is going to make it. So big game, huge game. But in terms of the college football playoff, I still think they get in.
And inconsequential. And that is there a prohibitive like best team in college football right now?
No.
I don't see one.
No.
I don't see a Georgia or a Bama from a few years ago that just
or Texas.
Would just listen, you got Vanderbilt beating Alabama. You've got Vanderbilt, you know, beating a lot of teams. I mean, there's just the SEC looks up for grabs. I mean, it's wide open. Now, the Big Ten, I would agree. I mean, because of reputation, I think Penn State and Ohio State get in. I don't think there's any question, unless they, of course, stumble against a team they should beat. But you say Ohio State plays Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big game.
Sure.
I mean,
it's in the shoe.
Indiana's probably going to be undefeated.
Yep.
If Indiana's undefeated at that point, and Ohio State loses to Penn State, they have two losses. You wouldn't put Indiana in if they lose Ohio State with one loss?
I would almost guarantee, and maybe this is just me being a cynical dude, that a two-loss Ohio State team that beats Indiana gets in over a one-loss Indiana.
Let's say Ohio State beats Penn State.
Right. That's what. Yeah.
And then loses to Indiana.
Yes. And with two losses.
Then Indiana's in. And Penn State's probably in as a one-loss team. But you go head-to-head.
I think Ohio State will beat Indiana. I think Indiana's really good. They've also played no one, which I hate that argument because you win the games that are on your schedule.
You play who's on your schedule.
No doubt about it. But I'm talking about from a college football playoff committee standpoint, they've beat no one. And if they lose then to Ohio State, I think that spells disaster for them, unfortunately, because they are a good football team, regardless of who they've played. They're a good football team. But if Ohio State, let's say, loses to Penn State, but beats an undefeated Indiana, that's the quality win they'll need, being Ohio State, to get in with two losses. As for Pitt, Eli Holstein, the offense, hasn't looked itself the last couple of weeks. I think the Syracuse game kind of freaky because Syracuse has the ball for 42 damn minutes because they throw five interceptions and three of them get returned for touchdowns. So it's not like Eli Holstein had a chance to get into rhythm. What are you guys seeing from Holstein for why he hasn't been as, let's call it, dynamic as he was through the first, five games of the season?
I think that, first of all, Cal did a really good job defensively. I thought in that game he pressed for the first time unnecessarily. You know, you turn the ball over, you lose your left tackle in the game. I think there are some circumstantial things that probably affected play calling, and I think that he was on edge a little bit. And it didn't need him to play like Hercules in the game to win. I think against Syracuse, if he goes out and finishes that last drive when he leaves the game, throws a touchdown pass, and that's a third of the game, and throws for, you know, buck 90 or something, we're talking a little bit differently today. But I do think for a young player that's had success, a couple things are going to happen. You got to deal with that. You got to deal with that on a day-to-day basis in the locker room, with the media, on campus, all those things. And when things don't go well, you tend to try to, hey, I got to make a play. I got to be the guy, right? You don't have to be. And check the ball down to Desmond Reed. That'll be just fine. Throw it in the flat to Gavin. That'll be just fine. Then that stuff will open up. The other thing is you're going to get defenses doing different things to you. I mean, you see teams starting to play three safety looks. You start to see, like, they've played a couple teams that play an odd front, and they like to mix things up coverage-wise with a lot of guys standing up. That's a different look for a young quarterback than he probably saw in high school. So it's an evolution. It's a process, but I think he'll be just fine. The ball he threw to Poppy on the post for the touchdown is, watch that throw 10 times over and remind yourself that there's not a lot of guys that can make that play. And you're just going to keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's basically what I was going to say too. Like, with being a young player and having success, sometimes you get that false vision of, you know, hey, this works, so I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep, you know, taking shots because I'm completing them. Like, even the pass to Dejon Reynolds against West Virginia, like, that is, you know, it was a great play, But sometimes in your mind, you're like, oh, man, I could just throw it up. I could take the shots. Then you get out of your form. Like, you know, you get out of your form because you have this false sense of, oh, things have been successful. I don't necessarily need to go check it down. I don't need to, you know, wait for something else to open up. I'm going to take this shot, or I'm going to throw it this way because I've been making those throws. I think he got into a little of that in the past couple games of, you know, I don't really necessarily need to play. And no, this isn't like, you know, he's not a good teammate or anything. I don't necessarily need to play within the structure of playing quarterback in the offense and look at my, you know, this read, that read, that read. Hey, let's be smart. Let's go do this. Because I've had so much success of, hey, if those reads aren't open real quick, I know that I could throw it up and somebody's going to make a play.
Yeah.
So being a young quarterback, you have to understand that, you know, even if those things do look open, after a while, you still have to play smart and play within the offense.
Redshirt freshman, 7th start of his career was last week. He can be fine. He can be okay.
He
can be good.
Darn good player. The other thing, too, is you think of the circumstances of the Cincinnati game and the West Virginia game. You're down double digits in both games. You're playing differently. The whole tone and tenor of the game is different. Against Cal, it's a one-possession game. Your defense is playing really well. You know, you're kind of between that, I'm going to cut it loose and try to make a play, or I'm going to try not to lose the game. And then certainly Syracuse, you're up 28-0 before you can blink. And that's a totally different mindset. They also need to be better on third down as an offense. I mean, in the games where they've played poorly, they've at times not converted on third downs. I thought they got honestly a little bit cute against Syracuse. Mm-hmm. They tried to hurry up and run the ball on third down, assuming they're probably going to go for it on fourth, and they had negative yardage plays on both situations and had to punt. With an offensive tempo, if you don't get first downs, this sounds very academic, but it's true. If you don't get first downs, your drives go really quickly. You've got to string first downs together. And when you get the money down, you got to convert. And I think they got to give him more options in those situations. You know, run an RPO, hurry up stuff at that point in time. I think they can do a little bit better to get that rhythm and fluidity in the offense to allow him to get into a – he had no chance to get into a rhythm against Syracuse. No chance because of how the game went.
Holstein cleared to play, by the way.
Yep.
For those of you who missed that last night on the Pat Narduzzi show, same with Jennings, the quarterback at SMU. The injury report brought to you by Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. An interesting report just dropped in the last couple of minutes about the wide receivers the Steelers are looking at right now as the trade deadline approaches. We'll get into that coming up next. We're going to go around the NFL coming up at 8:50. So much more left to do with Pat Bostic. Stick around. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can shoot us a text, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. There's an NFL insider out there, Tony Pauline. He's broken a lot of news before. He says the Steelers are attached to three names. Three guys the Steelers are monitoring right now to bring in at the wide receiver position. Two guys we've talked about. Another guy I don't think makes a lot of sense. So Darius Slayton, one of the names, duh. Mike Williams of the Jets, we've talked about that. The third name, Cortland Sutton of the Denver Broncos. And I like the player. We talked about him in the offseason. I don't know why they'd want to move him. They're 5-3.
Right.
You're trying to evaluate a rookie quarterback.
Yep.
Don't you want your rookie quarterback to get better? Don't you want him to have weapons to get better? I understand that they think, they being the Denver Broncos, that he's going to renegotiate his contract at the end of the season. And so there are financial ramifications here. I get it. But wouldn't you want to hold on to your quarterback's whoopee, his blankie, his secret weapon? I think yes.
There's no chance in this lifetime when we watch NFL football that the Denver Broncos are going to send an asset to Russell Wilson.
That's a good point.
They They're already paying him $40 million. You think that they're going to trade their best skill players to help Russell Wilson? So I'm going to give you a receiver and pay you $40 million to not play for us. There's no chance in this world.
I'd sign up for Slayton right now.
Yes.
Oh, I would too. That's a very strong take by you, Doran, and one that I am ashamed that I did not come to think of myself.
There's absolutely no chance. They sat him down because they didn't sat Russell Wilson down because they didn't want to pay. Okay, it's one thing, Sean Payton, he has no control over who gets traded or not, but the team, the front office, the ownership sat him down, Russell Wilson, because they didn't want to pay him extra money
right.
of play.
Didn't want to get hurt, then they didn't want him to pay him, yeah.
And then those people are going to send him Courtland Sutton? There's no chance.
It's a wise take, Mr. Dickerson.
I mean, it's twofold. I mean, it's both things. You're not taking a good receiver away from a young quarterback, and you're not trading him, you're right, Doran, to the guy that you are paying a lot of money to win the Pittsburgh Steelers football games right now. It's not going to happen.
No.
It doesn't make any sense. Slayton or Mike Williams, I'd take either one. But yeah, Darius Slayton would be the guy.
Just saw him carve you up.
Yep.
Yes. And as much as I like Van Jefferson since Russell Wilson's addition, with the exception of not sitting down in the back of the end zone, and as good as Calvin Austin looked the other day, mm-hmm. neither one of those guys are Darius Slayton. And by the by, both guys would still be on the football team. So yeah, go get me Darius Slayton. If it costs a fourth round pick, I do it. I sign in blood for that right now.
I have another take, too, because there's people out there that have tweeted us and said that, oh, if you guys know so much and you think it's that easy, you should just be the GM of, you know, trading and getting players, getting a receiver in here. Oh, if it was that easy, then everybody would be a GM. We're talking about a GM that traded Chase Claypool for a second-round pick. If he could do that, he could send a fourth-round pick to get somebody.
Yep.
Seriously. So this isn't like rocket science. It doesn't take like hours upon hours of investing your time into figuring out if this is going to be a fit or not, if we want to give up an asset. We're talking about a general manager that traded away Chase Claypool and got a second-round pick and then used that for Joey Porter Jr. He can get something.
He knows what he's doing.
It's not as hard as you think right now.
They got to do something. They got to do something
yes.
at that position. And Slayton, to me, fits the bill the best. He'll be a number two. It's exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what you need. Even like Cooper Kupp, which sounds like he's staying put. I mean, I thought that was a stretch. This one doesn't seem like as much of a stretch to me.
I think Darius Slayton is better right now than DeAndre Hopkins is. Do you?
Right now, yes.
More productive. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Been more active.
And that was a fourth round pick. I mean, none of these guys have gone for a king's ransom. Not one of them. So it's not like the Steelers are going to have to give up massive assets. I know the report, who was it from? Mike Garofalo the other day said that the Giants basically are asking for a lot for Darius Slayton. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
They need a lot.
You ask for a lot, and then you settle, and you wind up meeting in some middle ground, which could be, if they're asking for a lot, okay, what are you asking for, a third-round pick? That ain't going to happen. You want a fourth-round pick? Okay, bang, there it goes. It's done. I mean, they do need a lot.
They need a lot.
And the way you do that is you build up by accruing draft picks.
Problem is they've got an anchor of debt they're paying to their quarterback, and he can't play.
He's not very good. He's not very good.
Uh-uh.
But at this point, their season's over. I mean, you're not contending for jack crap. They're talking about effort issues on the defensive side. There's a whole ton of infighting there.
Right.
Get Darius Slayton the hell out of there and get a fourth-round pick, and it helps the Steelers, and you're not giving up a ton. I mean, it makes sense for both sides. I do think, to your point, Doran, Omar Khan's going to get something done. If he doesn't, I'll be very disappointed.
Right.
Because they needed a wide receiver all offseason. They cleared cap space whenever they restructured Alex Highsmith before the draft. They've known they need a wide receiver. They're going to get one. If it's Mike Williams, does that satisfy everyone? Probably not, because the other names are more high profile. But even Mike Williams would help the team. I think now, and we talked about this yesterday, Doran, as more wide receivers get traded, and now maybe more teams hashtag enter the chat, like maybe Houston needs a wide receiver now with Diggs going down for the season. Like, I think there's this feeling in Steelers Nation that they're not going to get a guy. And so now it is, well, they don't need a guy. No, they still need a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you think they're not going to do it, you don't have to line up to defend the general manager prior to the deadline. I think they're going to get a guy. And I'm leaning towards it being Darius Slayton. They probably shouldn't have let him leave the field.
I would have.
Monday Night Football.
No.
Walked over to their suite and said, let's do it. Let's
right
do it
now.
Right now. He looks really good.
Right now.
They were sitting together. Art and Mara. Aren't they like related?
Oh, they're tight.
Yeah, well, they're part of they're the OGs.
Yeah, they're related, right?
Well there's a Rooney Mara.
Yeah, it's Art's sister, or either, no, Dan Rooney's sister.
Don't do it.
Married a Mara.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah. Remember that time we couldn't figure out how the royal family worked?
Oh, man.
I still don't know.
That's where I am on all this. But I know her name is Rooney Mara, and she was in this cool movie that my wife and I watched.
Dragon Tattoo.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. She's badass.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
She was in Nightmare on Elm Street. The remake.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Did not know that.
This is great. New factoid.
Kate Mara. Mm-hmm. Kate Mara, her sister. She's a big time actress.
Kate Mara.
I think she was in.
Are they related?
She was in that sniper movie with Mark Wahlberg. Shooter.
Right.
Oh, yeah. She was in House of Cards, too.
Right.
She gets run over by a train. Spoiler alert.
Jesus Christ.
You guys had.
I just started watching that.
No, you didn't.
I'm on season two.
Well, she died in season one.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
No, she did not.
When does Kate Mara die in House of Cards? There's no way you picked up a Kevin Spacey show years after the fact, now that he got canceled.
It was more for Jenny from Forrest Gump. That's why I wanted to watch it. Not Kevin Spacey. That's his wife, Jenny. Robin something.
She's good.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, she does die in season two. Spoiler alert.
See?
Sorry to ruin it for everybody out there who's lining up to, again, watch the Kevin Spacey series. All right, let's take a look around the NFL coming up next. Maybe some other wide receivers that are out there. We'll do that when we come back. How do the Steelers compare to the AFC's elite? We haven't asked Bostic that question. We shall when we come back. Here's a text, 412-928-9370. You can text us all morning long. I heard NFL insider Pat Kerwin pushing hard for the Steelers and Tyler Lockett. I ask again, why would the Seahawks trade Tyler Lockett?
Mm-hmm.
They are tied atop the NFC West.
Didn't they just pay him?
I don't remember.
I think so, in the offseason.
I mean, they're 4-4. They're not any great shakes, but that's good enough for first place in the NFC West. Tied with the Niners, tied with the surprising upstart Cardinals, and don't look now, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear.
Michael Myers is entering the building.
Rams are 3-4. Who's dressed up as Michael Myers? I don't like this.
They're coming to get you. I have a little surprise for you.
No, you don't.
Okay. Got a surprise.
I don't know who that is, but...
It's Marty. You can tell by the way he walks.
It's definitely Marty.
There are certain people that would actually be more frightening if they came in, if they took the mask off. Those people shall not be named or aired out on the air. Look, I would love Tyler Lockett. I just...
Ain't gonna happen.
I don't see it. Now, sometimes the record doesn't always tell the story because you have to take the realistic look at where you are. Like, are we actually good? I don't... Are the Seahawks good? I don't know. I haven't watched every minute that they've played. But at 4-4, it's a tough sell.
Well, DK Metcalf's been out too for a couple weeks. So they're not gonna do it. And he's like almost... I mean...
Not a spring chicken, Dorn.
He's Calvin Austin. I mean, Calvin Austin's him. That's what they want him to be. Calvin Austin.
Right.
Is to be Tyler Lockett. They're like the small receiver that can get open across the middle. I don't know if you really want to, really need to go that direction again to have two of those guys.
He at this point in his career, is more of a true slot than Cooper Kupp is.
Yes.
And people were knocking the Kupp thing because they thought he was too much of a slot. Tweet from Mike. Talking about House of Cards. Bro, that's the biggest spoiler you could have given to that show. It came out 13 years ago. Like, how long is the spoiler thing a thing?
Forever.
I don't think so. You sit here talking about all these horror movies, like the ones that came out in 1988, giving spoilers away. What's the cutoff? What's
it's
the
like Rotten Tomatoes
statute
with
of limitations?
Like, that was 36 years ago.
You're fine, Crowley. I wouldn't worry about it.
Thank you. Texter, are we interested in Tyler Boyd? Would do that.
Would do it, too.
Should have done it.
Had an opportunity to do it.
Yep.
Would have come cheap.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
Man, probably not going to do it. Tennessee.
Ooh. Tough.
Stink.
They stink. Levis, tough. No good. Mason Rudolph is Mason Rudolph. Okay, so how about this question?
Mm-hmm.
And Dorn and I talked about this. If Russell Wilson had started from game one, Do we think we'd be having the same wide receiver conversations? Or would Van Jefferson look that much better? Calvin Austin look that much better? Dare I say Scotty Miller, probably not, look that much better? And maybe we wouldn't think they would need a wide receiver.
Yes, we'd be having those conversations because they were preparing this offseason for Russell Wilson to be the starter and still went after Brandon Ayuk and were at the altar. So yes, we're having that conversation. Because everyone would be so tantalized by them getting a big-name wide receiver. And
see, I don't like this. I don't know who this is. And at this point, I'm afraid that it's actually the real Michael Myers. They've just walked into the studio behind me.
I can't.
Go scare Callis. He's jumpier.
I think I know who that is.
It's Andy, the web guy, because I can smell his cologne.
Yes.
Cologne. You know people by their cologne?
I do.
Cologne mixed with cigarettes, yeah.
That's right.
I lost my train of thought. But yes, they'd still be going after a wide receiver. People would still want them to get a wide receiver. Would they need one? Maybe not. But we'd be having this conversation.
Someone texts in Gabe Davis. Okay. Someone says, forget Mike Myers. How about Jacoby Myers? Would do that, too. Yeah. He's more of a slot guy as well. Texter, Bruce Willis was dead the entire movie in The Sixth Sense. No longer a spoiler. That's an ultimate, like, if you spoiled that back then, you absolutely have ruined the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big one.
You remember whenever Shady McCoy, he had the screening for the Endgame?
Yeah.
I think it was Endgame, and that's whenever Tony Stark died.
Yep.
And he tweeted it out.
Spoiler!
No, but he tweeted it out. Yeah. Like, he saw the movie before everybody.
Stark died!
He's like, man, they killed Tony Stark.
I do remember that.
People were crushing him.
Oh.
Absolutely ruined
That's
it.
Shady, though.
Yep. He didn't even care.
If that is one of the movies in my life that I had to go see in theaters. I'm not a big theater guy, to the surprise of no one. I don't like, you know, being around people. I'm claustrophobic, things of that nature. Yeah, germs. Just all of it. If I'd have seen that tweet before I saw the movie, I would have lost it.
Yep.
And, you know, I have no other reason to hate Shady McCoy. None. Nothing comes to the top of mind on that guy.
No.
Massive spoiler that. I would have been furious.
That was one of the that was probably the top I've ever seen. Like, and then the outrage that came from it was, I've never seen anything like it.
That'd have been like spoiling Star Wars. Return of the Jedi. Wow, can you believe that Darth Vader's Luke's daddy? Like, you can't tweet that. If Twitter was around back then, that would have been a capital offense.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Steelers better than the Ravens?
Baltimore can't stop anybody.
No, they can't.
So, I have a hard time saying they're better, but they can certainly beat them. They're as good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Doran?
It's pretty close. Pretty close.
Here's what worries me. We haven't talked about this at all because we talked about the offense. Steelers can't stop the run. That was a bad offensive line for New York and two pedestrian tailbacks.
How about, so I thought about it like this. I think they were okay with not stopping the run. I think they're so game plan specific. I think against the Giants, they're like, we want to stop Daniel Jones running. We don't care if that Tracy kid or Singletary runs on us. Oh, so be it. If they do that, they can get as many yards as possible. We'll still win the game.
Good point.
We don't want Daniel Jones to beat us because if he only had like 4 yards rushing, he usually has like 30, 40. And whenever he does do that, their whole offense opens up.
Right, but you're playing against a terrible offense.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to play cover two and stop the run with that defense. That's what worries me.
Mm.
You can go out and get Patrick Queen. He hadn't really done much. You know, Landon Roberts has been their best run stopper.
Absolutely.
By a mile.
It's when the Steelers, not to do this thing, football knower, but like when they go nickel, they get run on. I mean, it's been happening all year.
Well, and Baltimore's going to make you do that.
Yes.
That's what worries me about playing a team like that.
I don't think it'll happen with Cam Sutton. I think Beanie Bishop, like, you can run the ball.
He's fine.
Whenever he's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, come on. But I think Cam Sutton, he's a veteran. Like, he just plays that position differently.
And from a recognition standpoint, right. he's seen it all.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that might, I'm hoping at least it might change a little bit.
Someone texts in and says that they got scabies from a movie theater seat once.
Scabies? Crowley won't be going back. Some dude just got killed with a pitchfork in this movie.
In the barn.
What's this called?
Halloween 4.
I've never seen
Return of Michael Myers.
Spoiler alert. Scabies, a contagious skin condition caused by microscopic mites that burrow into the skin and cause intense itching and rash. Yep, that's it for me in movie theaters.
That's sick.
See ya. Texter. Sorry.
Texter, what?
Leia is Luke's sister. Bet Luke would have liked to have
this is classic.
Heard that spoiler before he made out with her.
Wait, what? That happened?
Oh, yeah. Empire Strikes Back. They get all kissy-kissy after he gets out of that tube that he's floating in.
Nuh-uh.
After he gets mauled by that thing.
Their brother and sister?
Yeah, Leia is Vader's daughter. Absolutely.
Wait, so did they establish, like, all right, after that, was he like, oh,
there's
my gosh.
Incest in Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time. It's why all the West Virginia fans like the movie.
Did they acknowledge it, though, moving forward? That it's like, oh, that was weird.
So my thought on this, and now we're way off the rails, but who cares?
I thought Leia hooked up with Billy Dee Williams. What's his name?
He didn't hook up with Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah. Billy Dee Williams was hooking up with Princess Leia, I'm telling you.
Maybe in real life, not in the movie.
In the movie. What's his name? What's his name in the
Lando
movie?
Calrissian.
Lando was getting that.
I don't think so.
Yes, he was.
Because him and Han were brothers.
Look
man.
How they flirt.
They were guys.
Look how they flirt.
Well, he flirted with her. She didn't reciprocate.
Okay. All right.
What are we doing?
I am so lost.
My
right
whole
now.
Theory is George Lucas didn't really think the thing through. Like, George Lucas ain't thinking, like, oh, Luke's the son and Leia's the daughter. He didn't think it all through.
You don't think that was a part of the storyline? Like, let's put a little incest in here.
I don't
see
think,
if people can figure it out.
I don't think. Unless that is, like, the biggest red herring of all time. Oh, they can't be siblings because they played tonsil hockey.
So it was never, like, acknowledged.
It was acknowledged that they made out.
Yeah.
They didn't acknowledge it. Moving
any
forward,
any additional
what?
Insight you want to give us on movies?
Think I'm good.
Any what? Thought? Any thoughts?
No.
Do you think the Steelers are better than the Ravens?
I think they're more complete, yeah. I think they can beat you multiple ways, which is insane to say because I thought they had one path to victory early in the year.
Yep.
And the last 2 years. Run the ball, play defense, don't turn it over. That's all you got. Now they can hit the deep ball. They can run the ball more effectively than they have the last few years. Special teams, the best yep. in the league. Defensively, they're taking the ball away. They're giving up 15 points a game. Yeah, I think they're better. How about that? Been a weird show, been a fun show. We'll go around the NFL coming up next. I can't wait to hear your guys' reaction to this. I hope you haven't seen it. Maybe you have. We'll talk about it when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And we're going around the NFL, brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. So,
the autumn wind is a pirate, frolicking to and fro.
So, I guess Jeff Lurie of the Philadelphia Eagles, Saquon Barkley, and Jalen Hurts all were golfing with former President Barack Obama the other day. But Saquon said, actually, point of clarification, I wasn't golfing. I just hung out with all of them. Because in his contract, it says that he can't golf.
Why?
I don't know.
That's wild.
I'm wondering if he's got some sort of Charles Barkley-esque kind of swing. Or something that would prohibit him from staying healthy through golfing? Like
I don't know. I've heard of skiing.
Yes.
Skiing contracts.
Like
for sure.
Ben, I'm sure they told him to quit with the motorcycle riding.
Yep.
After his accident.
Golfing.
I've heard ATVing. I've heard some guys not even able to go play like rec basketball.
Because mm-hmm.
you don't want them to tear their ACLs. But golfing? My man. Hey, you were almost the MVP of the league. And then you got your contract. You can say no to that. Are they worried? The pure speculation. Just throwing it. Is it a gambling thing? Like they don't want him gambling?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I mean,
never heard of that before.
I just searched Saquon Barkley golf, and he plays a decent amount of golf.
Right. Saquon golfs.
You're talking about Hurts.
Hurts. Did
oh,
I say
Hurts?
Yeah, Hurts.
Yeah, you said Saquon.
Ah, screw the whole thing up.
Hurts.
I was thinking about Han Solo's future wife making out with her brother, which we reviewed the tape during the break there, and it's a solid 3.5 second smooch between brother and sister Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a.
I have no idea why you wouldn't be able to play golf. That's in your contract. Like
if you don't want, who's the little guy running around? Kyler Murray for the Cardinals. If you say, hey, you can't play video games, it's taking up too much of your time, I guess.
Little guy running around.
I've just never heard of anything like that.
No, that's pretty crazy.
Like, he must have a golf addiction or something. All right. That's going to do it for our time with Pathew Bostic. You're hopping on a bird tomorrow going out to Dallas, Texas.
Going down to Dallas.
Where apparently you're going to be going and seeing Jerry World, a little tour.
I am. Going to Jerry World with a group. It'll be good. Apparently there's like a hologram of Jerry Jones that
so
you get
weird.
To interact with.
So weird.
So I'm going to tell him his team stinks.
Yeah. Tell him we said hi.
You should tell him on behalf of radio people everywhere to get bent.
Yeah.
He's threatening people's jobs. You tell that hologram. And now we've come full circle. Because really, things really pick up in Star Wars with the hologram that comes out of R2-D2. Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope.
Does he make out with anybody?
It's the sound he makes. But I don't think he makes out with any other droids or anything like that, no. That's my R2-D2 sound. It's actually a very good one.
Gosh.
A very good one.
It hurt my ear.
Mm-hmm. All right, safe travels.
It's been enjoyable. Thank you.
It has been fun today.
All
little
right.
Halloween theme.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Bye, Pat.
Pat Bostic. All right, coming up next, yet another NFL analyst says the Steelers could see themselves in New Orleans playing for the Super Bowl at the end of the year. Who said it? We'll react. We'll talk about it when we come back. First, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado, 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 78.